Hello and welcome to Classique 15, our bite-sized coffee break podcast with me, Jack Pepper. Now, each episode we welcome a star of the classical music world to hear their top tips on how to make a living in classical music. Today we welcome Gábor Takács-Nagy, a founding member and leader of the celebrated Takács Quartet, working with them from 1975 to 1992. Then in 96, he founded the Takács Piano Trio before turning to conducting in 2002. He's music director of the Verbier Festival Chamber Orchestra and of the Manchester Camerata, one of the UK's leading chamber orchestras. He's also principal guest conductor of the Budapest Festival Orchestra and has guest conducted everywhere from Monte Carlo to Detroit. He's also a highly respected chamber music teacher, a professor in Geneva, and an honorary member of London's Royal Academy of Music. Now, Gábor is a noted exponent of Hungarian music. So, when we spoke on a video call, I started by asking him how you find your repertoire, your niche. Is this a conscious process, or does it just happen?
Very interesting. Probably my answer is both. You know, many times with the string quartet in the Takács Quartet or as a conductor, I am not choosing my own program because the promoters and the society is asking a special program. Of course, we are suggesting things, but many times it's just happening with which composers you feel at ease. But the Hungarians, of course, very near to me because Bartók, Kodály's and Liszt music, but especially Bartók and Kodály, is based on the Hungarian folk music and Hungarian language. Of course, it's very near to my heart and brain and my being. But I have to say, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, the other love of my life, Hungarian music and the Wiener classical. So, Jack, I cannot say that I am with a fantastic strategy and focus, I am working on the Hungarian repertoire. It just happened.
And you were in a unique position as one of the founder members of the acclaimed Takács Quartet. Just take us back to when you helped set that group up. Why did you want to set up your own ensemble? What was the aim at that point and the impulse?
Very interesting question. When I was 17 years old or 16, already I knew that I won't be a soloist. I never felt that I have this kind of special talent psychologically, physically, mentally for being a soloist, but I wanted to be very much a chamber music player. And I already met my later colleagues in the middle school when I was 16, 17, middle musical specialized music school in Budapest, and we already planned that we will play string quartet. Also, not last factor was that phenomenal geniuses were teaching in the 1970s chamber music and string quartet in the Francis Music Academy. András Mihály, György Kurtág and Ferenc Rados, three genius. So we knew already at the age of 16, 17 that not only our life we'd like to be quartet players, but wanted to meet these phenomenal teachers. So, Jack, I am the luckiest person in the world because I met three fantastic colleagues and three phenomenal teachers. So it's one thing, you have to be very talented, motivated, hard worker, but we need luck also. Who are our teacher, who the fate puts together with which colleague?
What would you say you learned from those early years and being part of this celebrated quartet? What would you say was the biggest lesson that you took away from being part of a group
for
like
this
that?
Quartet, I think, especially with these fantastic teachers, I think our musical morale went very, very high. We learned it, and I learned it, that behind every note, every harmony, there is a diamond. So, I mean, you cannot play a note with indifferently because the spiritual radiation is the most important of the music making. So each note has an inner life. Each note is coming from the bottom of the heart and the soul of the composer. So in order to radiate the great composer's spirituality, we must feel it. We also have to go up to this level spiritually, musically, mentally, whilst we're playing. So if you really want to be a great performer, an excellent performer, you really need to be, practice and live everyday life, every day when you're practicing or analyzing a piece, somewhere on high alert, high intensity, spiritually, mentally. You know, a kind of readiness, alertness, nonstop. And I learned in the quartet that we are treasure hunters, literally, and finding behind every phrase, harmony, note, melody, the right spirituality.
That must be a huge sort of tie as well as a musician to know that, you know, you can't switch off. I find this as a composer, Gabor. It's sort of the ideas don't stop at 5 o'clock in the same way when
Not stopping. And I have to say something. I had a fantastic colleague, Gabor Ormai, who was the original viola player of the Tokács Quartet. And unfortunately, poor Gabor died of cancer. When I last time visited him, he had only some months left. He was saying, you know, our life was non-stop alertness, never finished, 24 hours, this feeling that is learning, getting higher and higher. If I'm getting out from my problem, which I won't, he told me, but theoretically, if I would get out, I would go to work in a McDonald's. I don't know why. Because the work starts at 9, finishing at 5. And but as a musician, you are nonstop on 24 hours on alertness.
And for you personally, Gabor, is that ever a negative? Does it ever become a tie? The sort of the ever alertness that you need when you're approaching music making. Have you ever burnt out?
You know, I developed something psychologically. I'm dead honest with you. I felt that I need huge mental and psychological power when I am working with music. And that's why in many, many times in my life and in even today, sometimes I am, when people talking to me or I should do something, a very everyday life job or something, I am sometimes very bad with it because I'm not focusing. I'm driving sometimes my wife crazy. I'm looking like somebody who, not a zombie, but a little bit on low level intelligence sometimes. But of course, I'm not stupid, but I'm somewhere saving energy for my musical work. You know, but I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of this, what I'm telling you, but I have an alertness that I cannot be totally on high intensity every second of the daily world life, because I have to save myself for when I'm studying or concert.
So how do you protect yourself then? Sort of practical steps that keep both your mind, but also your body, you know, as a player as well. How do you look after yourself?
First of all, what I can tell also to young generation, that I am every day doing a speed walk. Every morning, 30 minutes, very fast walk, and try to walk as much as I can with my wife. I'm also swimming. I keep myself fit physically, mentally, as much as I can. And I try to sleep quite a lot. I'm also not drinking at all alcohol and also not getting overweight. So I try to live like a sportsman physically. I mean, not a sportsman, but I kind of like a musician who tries to look after his own body. And mentally, look, I love what I'm doing. It's a kind of hope. It's a hobby for me. So I don't have to think about any preparation. I am lucky because I love what I am doing. It's a hobby for me, but I'm keeping myself physically, mentally healthy.
And incredibly important, as you are an acclaimed conductor as well. We've talked about your career as a violinist, but you are also music director of the Manchester Camerata, one of the UK's leading chamber orchestras. You're principal guest conductor of the Budapest Festival Orchestra as well. How do you make the leap, if I can describe it as that, from violinist and player to conductor? Is it a big leap? Is it a transition?
It's a transition. Yes. It's a totally different thing because I'm not playing a note. I try to inspire and helping musicians around me to play the way I imagine the pieces. But as a quartet leader, physically, I already practiced the conductor's role, so it's not totally new, the change of my life, you know, because the body language and breathing and giving an upbeat for the group, I did it for 17 years in the Tokács Quartet. So it's not totally new, but I know that I am not playing, they are playing. So I think lots of empathy and psychological alertness important for a conductor. I'm developing this and non-stop writing me out for a paper, new thoughts about how can I be a more effective, more helpful conductor for orchestra. You know, I'm try every day to learn something. I try every day learning something about this mysterious profession, because this is mysterious.
And is this different for different ensembles? We've mentioned a couple of the groups you work with. I should also say you conduct the Verbier Festival Chamber Orchestra. So you have a kind of global collective of the finest young musicians there every summer. Are you a different conductor with them?
Yeah. No, look, it's different with an orchestra, which is not every week meeting. If an orchestra is fresh mentally, physically, psychologically, like the Chamber Orchestra of Verbier, it's the work is, I am not so much alert what I am saying and what not saying, because it's almost like a string quartet, so with friends. But if I am working with an orchestra, which is every week working, they are in a different mindset, because they don't have so much freshness and openness. So I have to be myself, but psychologically I have to be very clever.
So what do you look for then? When you're speaking about players that you work with, players in your orchestras and the Verbier Festival Chamber Orchestra, what do you look for in a player? What should a player be for you?
A player should be totally open without judgment for my ideas. Okay, she or he can have his own feelings and style or taste, but I'm always looking for people who, and they are like this, who are open for any new ideas, and immediately with a team spirit, they radiating characters, colors. So they're not playing the physicality, but the spirituality of the notes. Now, but if I am with an orchestra which is more tired because every week working and they not fresh in the approach, I'm a little bit more, have to be a diplomat. So not saying everything which I would say to my friends, but very clever way, pushing towards them to my way, but not too pushy, not openly enthusiastic way, which I can do with the Verbier Chamber Orchestra. But I myself, but a little bit sordino on my crazy openness and energy.
I love that. You have the dynamics of the music as well as a conductor, the different levels of the piece you're conducting. So just finally, Gabor, what would be your top tip then to a young or emerging musician listening now? What's the most important thing that they should keep in their mind in the coming days and weeks?
Yes, in today's world, it's very, very important. All young musicians telling me that they have huge, how can I say, they want to play very, very high level technically, because the world, in technological world and in every aspect of our daily life, the technique is very, very high and a big part of our life. But I am telling them, learn technical skill through music, because technique is nothing else than the road to the musical goal. That is just a tool, is not the goal. The goal is the spiritual radiation. And also, I'd like to say something. Every day, inspire yourself. Self-inspiration is the secret. And don't wait for your professor to say what to do. You are your own professor. Your professor is only an advisor. Every day, with open-minded way, look for new things in your playing and love even more what you do. If you love what you do, you are even more, even better in it.
Inspiring advice from Gabor Takacs-Nagy. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining me, Jack Pepper, for this latest edition of Classique 15. All the episodes in the series are available on all the usual podcast platforms and online at classique.com. There you can also find all of Classique's latest news, opportunities, their online concert series and video on demand. And for the very latest, why not follow them on social media at Classique Music. Thanks so much for joining us, and until the next time, enjoy the music.